It's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight. The FBI has come in and dropped a bombshell on college basketball, and particularly the recruiting of players to certain universities. Four assistant coaches have been arrested so far, and Louisville's Rick Pitino and their athletic director, Tom Jurich, were put on leave today, effectively being fired by the University of Louisville. So those of us who never thought Louisville would want to clean up anything, well, and may want to get out from under their athletic director and their basketball coach all of a sudden. So there's a lot to talk about there. We'll probably cover it here in just a little while. But before we get there, we've got some football news and notes as the Colts head towards the weekend. They'll be playing on these airwaves on Sunday night. They are at Seattle, the always loud Seattle Seahawks field. So they've been working on that. Andrew Luck will not be playing. But as far as we know, pretty much all the Hoosiers will be playing. There might be a couple folks that are missing when it all comes said and done. And there are some players on the questionable list. But the Hoosiers head to Penn State for a 3:30 kickoff at Happy Valley this Saturday. And it's Penn State coming off of a big, big night game win on the road at Iowa. Went 12 plays, 80 yards in 45 seconds to win the game on pretty much the last play of the game. All kinds of character, all kinds of quality on both sides of the ball, and a daunting task here for the Hoosiers, Glass, who, you know, their defense played the part last week and did what they had to do against Georgia Southern. It is an enormous step up to play Penn State, no matter where you're playing them, especially on the road.
No doubt about it. And the Big Ten East never gets any easier, and I don't think anybody is going to deny that or argue that, but it's a tough league, and that's what you get. You get tough games almost weekly. Indiana's first two games will be against top five opponents in league play. Ohio State was in the top five when they opened them up with them. Well, they ranked two in the country.
And Michigan isn't far away.
No, it's not. And number four in the country now with Penn State. And it's a team last year that Indiana played pretty well, Dave, if we remember. Uh-huh. Saquon Barkley had 29 carries, I think, for 61 yards or something in that neighborhood.
They held him down.
And made Trace McSorley beat them, essentially. But Indiana also hurt themselves in that game as well with some penalties, if I remember correctly. A strip sack turnover made the final score 14 points. That was probably a little harsh on the Hoosiers. Mm. But there are other ways that Penn State can beat you and attack you. And reading Kirk Ferentz's comments after the game and in his Monday press conference, there's plenty, or Tuesday press conference, there's plenty of things that he took away from Penn State that, you know, if you're an Indiana fan, are going to concern you. They're really good. They're better defensively, he thought. They're better balanced offensively, and they've got pretty decent everything there besides maybe the kicking game's a little wobbly for Penn State, but that's not a surprise. Teams that are ranked in the top five just don't get that number next to their name because they've got pretty uniforms or a stadium that holds 110,000 people. You have to win football games. You have to have players, and you have to execute in those games. And Penn State won the Big Ten championship last year. Played a great bowl game with USC that went back and forth and back and forth. One of the greatest bowl games you'll ever see. So they're legit. They're for real. And they have multiple problems that they're going to give everybody problems with. Number one, they got a running quarterback. Number two, they got a throwing quarterback. Number one, they got a running back. They got a catching running back and a returning running back.
Yeah, he's
his
awesome.
300 and whatever, 60-some total yards, the most in Penn State history all-purpose against Iowa. So there's no joke here. There's no tricks. There's no anything else. We missed the days of Christian Hackenberg under center, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Well, you know, Trace McSorley is something unto himself. But you talked about Saquon Barkley a little bit there, and, you know, just been marveling at him since we've seen him play, you know, several times. But in particular, of course, it was on display on Saturday night. You know, the kid is really an unreal mix right now. You know, people are trying to compare him to different folks, and it's hard to do because he does so many things very, very well. Not just a little bit of everything, but he does it all really well. Right now, he could be arguably, I mean, just statistically, he's the third best receiver statistically in the Big Ten. He's a 230-pound running back who also happens to be third rushing. So,
well, what does Iowa do for a living? What does
play
Iowa,
defense.
They play defense. And Kirk Ferentz says he might be the best back he's seen in 19 years as a head coach in the Big Ten. I mean, that's a pretty strong statement there. And what you notice from watching that game, and this is what T. Gray Scales talked about when he met with the media on Tuesday, when you saw Barkley had no less than eight runs where he was hit 2 yards or deeper in the backfield and gained 5 or 6 yards, not back to the line of scrimmage. he advanced the ball, and these were late. Some of those were later in the game as well.
It's hard to make yardage as a running back. It really is when you're hitting the backfield. But he's one of those few guys that can not only get out of a tackle strength wise, because he is 230 pounds. It doesn't always look like it, but he's very strong, especially in his lower body. But he's got the juke moves. I mean, in open space, he's extremely dangerous because he's going to make you look silly. And he did it all night long against Iowa. There's not a lot of combinations of guys that can both make you look silly and run through multiple tackles on one particular play.
And again, Iowa's defense is the bread and butter there. They have really good linebackers. Josie Jewell is a really good linebacker. His name, Player of the Week in a loss against Saquon Barkley. That's how good he was. But here's what Indiana has to do. They have to find a way, and Tom Allen mentioned this on Monday. He said, we don't expect perfection. I'm paraphrasing here. We don't expect perfection. We'd be silly to ask for that. But if you can hold them to some field goal attempts rather than touchdown after touchdown after touchdown, I think there's some validity to that. Get off the field in some tight plays. Mm-hmm. Don't give them extra downs. And then Tigre Scales told us the only thing we have to do, fly to the football. What do you think? Fly to the football. Yeah. Fly to the football. And he's exactly right, because you saw how many tackles that Barkley broke against Iowa in those situations. So if you let up and you think, oh, okay, you got him dead to rights on the sideline, mm-hmm. No. What's the word you'd like to use? Pursue.
Yeah, pursue.
Until the whistle blows and stop. Because if you take a playoff, he can bust it for as many yards as you let him.
Well, and we talked about on Monday about what I liked in particular about the defense against Georgia Southern. Again, I'm not going to make Georgia Southern's game to be all that big of a deal, but it is from the standpoint of what did the Hoosiers do all day long on defense. Well, they were disciplined all day long on defense, and that's extremely important against a triple option offense, but it's very important on defense in general. So they're not a team that looked at Georgia Southern and said, man, whatever, we'll take care of it with our athleticism. No, they worked all week and worked in that game on the discipline side of things, and it showed up through the entire at least first three quarters. And then after that, you got into guys who you had to look up on the roster sheet. So what's it going to take with Saquon Barkley? Well, it's going to take discipline once again. It's going to take guys staying home when they need to stay home, because he's coming back to you if he goes the other direction for a second. And the pursuit is part of discipline also. They run pursuit drills all the time where 10 or 11 guys have got to get in the film, within a couple seconds of the play being over. That's another part of the discipline, is making sure you bring a lot of bodies from all over the field, because it's going to take more than one guy to bring this guy down.
Who was Indiana's defensive coordinator last year? Tom Allen.
That completely
helps.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he put up some kind of game plan that said, you know what, we're going to try and take Barkley away.
They did a lot of that during the year where they went manned up out wide, and they said, we're going to take your running game away and force you to pass it.
And now you're going exactly where I'm going to go here.
And
now,
Penn State tried it and tried it and tried it and tried it, and eventually Trace McSorley made a couple plays.
He did.
And he got hit pretty hard all day long, though, too.
No doubt about that. And the other part was Indiana can afford perhaps to play some man-on-man. You hope Rashard Fant taking last weekend off is one of those corners. Mm-hmm. A'shaun Riggins, he got knocked out of that game. You don't know his situation, but Andre Brown made you a nice play. They've always been high on Brown the last couple, even though he missed a whole season.
Yep.
If you can let those guys out there on the island and have them make some plays and maybe stuff up Barkley a little bit more with some help on those things, Indiana just might have the cornerbacks, Dave. Again, they had them last year.
Yeah.
They might have – that might be another angle we look for in that game. If they can play man on the outsides and they can commit some more people to the run, well, I'd rather tackle Saquon Barkley with more guys than less guys. So you saw some of that perhaps work a little bit last year. And did it work in the sense you won the football game? No, it didn't. But I remember after that game, I did the post-game call-in show for Greg Murray with Ken Bykoff, and people were literally upset that Indiana didn't beat Penn State that day. They were – because they thought they saw enough defense-wise where they said, hey, look, this is what's going on, and this is what's happening. And I think that speaks a little bit to Indiana's defense of what they did, because Barkley last year was a really, really good football player as well. This isn't a new guy that just broke out here a couple weeks ago. He has been awfully, awfully good. But a little bit of Indiana's problem was last year is their offense got bogged down in the second half and couldn't continue moving the football.
Five fumbles for the IU offense last year.
You're never going to beat anybody doing that, period.
The defense picked off Trace McSorley twice. Look, beating Penn State, that's a crazy thing about IU fans. They still think that they need to beat all these teams. I get that. You want to, and eventually you have to make
a
bowl game.
You have
to beat something. I get that all. But you held Penn State, if you will, to 35 points through three and a half quarters, and then a couple things happened late to give get Penn State a couple extra points. It's a very, very, very good offense. Trace McSorley with his legs, I mean, that's really what hurts you as much as anything. Not just that he has to run the ball, but his ability to extend plays, his ability to move around in the pocket. They took it at Saquon Barkley. I remember him limping off, I think, at halftime because he was a little banged up on one of those ankles and ended up rushing it 33 times for like 58 yards. So they stayed committed to Saquon Barkley, but the Indiana defense committed to him too. Are they going to do that again? I think you have to. I mean, you've got to take your chance against the wide receivers of Penn State. See if those kids can make a play. Heck, the kid that caught the touchdown the other night, that was his first touchdown of his career. You got to make those kids make plays.
Six arms and he caught it. Yeah. Kept his concentration. That was a great throw, great catch.
Well, and a little crazy too, but it worked out. And but again, that's where you take your chance. You say, go ahead. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to make that all day long, fine. But I'm not going to let you have Trace McSorley scrambling all over the place and Saquon Barkley running 40 times and through everybody's defense all day long. So you've got to commit up front. And you mentioned on the offensive side too, you know, it always helps if the offense can hold the ball. And this is a pretty good Penn State defense as well. That's the other issue in this. Can Indiana continue to run the ball coming off the week against Georgia Southern? I'm not convinced of that because I didn't see anything that wowed me about that game. I mean, the rushing numbers were nice. I'm very happy about Morgan Ellison. I mean, he's a good-looking young back, no question, big kid. But can they do it against Penn State? It doesn't even compare the difference between Penn State and Georgia Southern. It is 100% completely different, and they struggled mightily against Ohio State and Virginia's offense to run the ball. So here's where you get into that weird point where how much Richard Leggo do you use? How much Peyton Ramsey do you use? Does Ramsey come in and make bad choices against a better defense? There's all kinds of myriad of questions that come up on that side of the ball. But the first one has to be the example of last year. Don't fumble it five times.
Nope.
Don't turn it over like that.
Richard Leggo had no picks last year. That's very interesting. Devine Redding had 23 for 108, so they found some joy in the running game against Penn State doing that. The game was November 12th last year. And, yes, when Mitchell Page loses two fumbles in a game, we sat here on the next Monday and said, when's that ever going to happen?
It never happens.
It never happens, except when it happened against Penn State. Remember, Indiana led 24-21 after three quarters and gave up 24 fourth-quarter points. Mm-hmm. Now, this what it sounds like in my head a little bit is Leggo had a decent day. We told you the numbers, 292. And had how many completions? 23 or 40?
It was a 7-point game late, and the Hoosiers went for it deep in their own territory. Yes. Didn't get it.
They scored.
Penn State kicked the field goal.
Sack fumble.
And then there was a sack fumble touchdown later
scoop
on
and score.
That made it the version that it was, if you will. It was 35-31 when all that happened.
There was a game to be had and a game to be played there. So Indiana was in it. But it kind of reminds me of the Ohio State game in a little bit, where as the game went on, Indiana just didn't have enough depth. You heard Tom Allen talk about that, saying, hey, when we got into this part of the game and they're running plays in the upper 70s and 80s, that Indiana just didn't have perhaps some guys to hit it. So that's another thing. Breakthrough, finish, all these words they talk about. Well, you're going to have to do it again because Penn State just showed you they'll go 60 minutes all flat.
Last
game when he caught it was zeros on the clock.
That's
the game
was
done. But it's a great challenge. It's a great opportunity for Indiana. I would love to see them healthy. I know exactly what you know on the health front, but there was nine guys listed on Monday, and three of them start on defense and three of them start on offense.
That's a big deal.
That is a big deal because 2 years ago we went to Penn State and Xander Diamond had to play quarterback because Nate Sudfeld had an ankle
injury.
And Danny Cameron came in to fill up the mess in the fourth quarter, and they scored 7 points and had 150 yards on that day. It wasn't good. But what you do have is two healthy quarterbacks, which I think is encouraging. You have a tailback, Morgan Ellison, who doesn't seem to be bothered by much. Let's see how he reacts against the Penn State defense, which is interesting because they held Wackram, or however you say his name, for Iowa, their big running back. Now, late in that game, what did he do? When the game's on the line, Wackram busts a 70-yard play. Well, because he's got speed and power to do that. We've seen flashes of that from Ellison, and I'm not going to put some Heisman watch
on
that.
Wackram Wadley.
He sure isn't, because Wadley's done it for 4 years, and that's why it's a little bit different. But if Indiana can break a big play we're going to see some things maybe a little bit differently.
You're going to have to score points.
There's
no question about it. I mean, last year, again, it was 35 points. You know, the defense had given up until the last two drives, if you will. Penn State scoring off of turnovers. But, you know, you're going to have to continue to score points. This offense is just that good. The tight end's a nightmare to match up against. The only bet you have, really, I mean, from a standpoint of what's obvious, is that their wide receivers just don't have a lot of experience.
Yep, and or don't make the plays on that night, or don't catch the ball to help McSorley out of a bad spot. So if the defense can get to him, that's the other thing Indiana has we haven't seen a ton of is pass rush. We've seen it in bits and pieces. We know Greg Gooch made a big play against Virginia that was deemed illegal. Right. But you can talk about getting in the backfield. You can talk about getting to the quarterback, but if you don't finish the play, if you don't finish the drive, that's where Indiana has to make that next breakthrough step. They talk about it all the time, but it's absolutely true. There are no points, there are no anythings for getting two hands on Saquon Barkley in the backfield unless you bring him down.
Yeah.
It's either a tackle for a loss or it's not a tackle for a loss. Right. So you have to do that, and that sounds like the mentality this week. But there was obvious that Tom Allen saw something the first time going against Penn State. He's already seen McSorley. He's already seen Barkley. Mm-hmm. That as a fan, I think that's good because you've gotten a taste of it. It's you can watch all the film you want, but when you watch your film, it's a completely different side of things there. So there are some things that are interesting. It's not a very easy place to play. 106,000 of your closest friends right on top of you screaming and yelling the entire time. 3:30 in the afternoon, so you get a decent kick time. The last two games have been 3:30, so that's kind of in that same meld.
Yeah, and you get them coming off a big win, emotional win,
physical.
Late win on the road.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, there's some good things here for the Hoosiers. What it means, obviously, we
now
will find
that
out.
Injury report, boy, well, that's going to be interesting to see on Saturday.
We've had a few of these. How do they go on the road and how do they attack this team?
Especially with the depth issue.
All right, take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. Back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Some programming notes for you, and they are plentiful. Wednesday night, tonight, we've got Reds baseball coming up. They are at Milwaukee. 7:40 is first pitch. Tomorrow night is NFL, Bears at Packers. 8 p.m. is the pregame for that. Friday night, we return to high school football with Terre Haute North coming to town to face the South Panthers. Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock, and kickoff, 7:30 for Friday night high school football. Saturday, we got a couple things going on. 4 o'clock, we've got the season finale, I believe it is, for the Red Legs. Or is it the second to last?
Nope, you're right. That is the season finale, Saturday afternoon, 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock, they are in Chicago.
Correct.
To face the Cubbies. And then the evening game, 8:30 pregame, 9 o'clock kickoff for Ole Miss at Alabama. And then we have a triple header on Sunday of NFL football, starting at 12:30 with the Titans and the Texans, then the Eagles and the Chargers for the late afternoon game, and the Colts at Seattle start around 7:30 for pregame with Bob Lamy and crew on the Colts at Seattle. Before we leave IU football, daunting challenge.
No question.
Any question about that. You do what you can to stay in the game. And if you lose the turnover battle 5-2 once again, you don't have a chance.
You sure don't.
So you've got to take care of the ball. And Richard Lego has had his moments of taking care of it, not taking care of it. He's got to be good. He's got to be really good. And when Peyton Ramsey gets in, who will, this thing that always scares me about a young quarterback who doesn't have a lot of reps is, when is he going to turn it over? When is he going to make the bad decisions? And the better the defenses get, the more those decisions start to ramp up.
And I'll take the turnovers to the other side of the page as well. Indiana had 3 fumble strips last week against Georgia State or against Georgia Southern. You'd sure like to see at least 1 or 2 in that department. Maybe get your hands on a ball in the air as well. Maybe special teams. Maybe. Here's what happens. When you go on the road against really good teams, every facet has to be good, and it has to play above what it normally does. You can't be average to beat really good teams. Everybody knows that. So you're going to have to make plays. I think the playbook is going to expand in a couple directions this week just because you didn't show anything against Georgia Southern. There was nothing you needed to show. It was very vanilla, and that's good. I think that will expand this week. We've seen Mike DeBoard already attack a pretty good defense in Ohio State and have some success with the short passing game and in the deeper passing game as well. Simi Cobbs has to be a huge factor in this game because he can bail out quarterbacks. He can bail out your offense. He can make you big plays, but he can't throw the ball to himself. We have to remember that. That's the one thing wide receivers just can't do. So I think a conscious effort will be made to get him involved, just like you saw against Ohio State, and the same thing with Ian Thomas. Until someone stops him or gets in his way, I'd continue to go ahead and keep trying him 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times a game because he hasn't dropped balls, Dave. He seems to be just fine in pass routes. And I guess they'd like him to block just a little bit better in a running game. But if he can make plays, again, hard to guard on the matchup, hard to guard on the perimeter. And you see him split out wide enough, you have to use him as well. And none of those guys, Thomas only caught two balls last week. One of them went for 71 yards. Right. You didn't really, those guys should be rested and ready to go. And they have to make plays. Because as you mentioned, a redshirt freshman quarterback's not going to put it on the money every time you throw it. So do him a favor. If it's close, make a play for him. Or at least keep it down where somebody else can't make a play for you. And then Lego has to be better. I agree with you 100%. I think he'll be more confident this year because he's seen Penn State once.
Mm-hmm.
The road game, he's already played at Ohio Stadium. That's a lot of people.
Yep.
It's not going to be a huge difference maker for him. And he'll look and go back in the film and look and saw, well, besides that sack with, 90 seconds left that got the scoop and score, he didn't have a lot of problems with the ball in that game against Penn State. So I would think his confidence should be up and ready to go.
Got a prediction here for the Hoosiers?
Yeah, it's going to be. I think it's going to be closer than people think. And again, I'm worried about the last 15 minutes. I want to see the injury report. That's important because if you don't have Rashard Fant and if you don't have A'shaun Riggins,
and those Mark Salino Ball. And
I didn't even get to that part. Yeah. Nate Hoff in the inside of that line. Because you talked about it correctly.
We don't have a lot of big guys in there.
Name Barkley, 33 for 61 last year.
Yeah.
Well, Ralph Green and Nate Hoff were a part of that mess.
Exactly
Marcus
right.
Oliver was part of that. Physical guys,
that's right.
Physical up front. I'm not saying Jacob Robinson can't do that, but he's not as strong as Nate Hoff. That's just the facts of life.
Mm-hmm.
We heard on Monday, too, Juan Harris, the big 360-pound guy that would eat up some space.
Yeah.
Highly doubtful, I think, was the exact words used in the press conference. So that doesn't help either. So you just hope the Hoosiers can find a way. And you know what? I think they're going to be okay on the defensive part, but I agree with you 100%. They have to score.
Yeah.
DeBoard's going to have to find ways to keep his quarterbacks clean and to get the ball down the field for touchdowns. Griffin Oakes is great. He's a great asset. He seems to be as confident as he was 2 years ago. Field goals are great as long as you're holding them to field goals.
Well, and again, the running game could go a long way here. So if you can generate something and keep that Penn State offense off the field, you've got a hell of a
lot
better
point. This. We talked about this on Monday, and you brought up not having a lot of guys carry the ball in a game that seemed to be done and finished on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to see multiple backs this week just to change alignment and
formation.
Well,
they kept Majet out, because they wanted just a precaution
there.
Yeah,
good receiver, too.
I don't put Mike Majet in, with all due respect to Mike Majet, thinking he's going to run over and around people. I mean, that was the nice part about Morgan Ellison is he showed some skills that maybe they don't have at other spots. I mean, Cole Guest hits the hole a mile a minute and he's got some good speed, but you still have to give him the hole for the most part.
That's right.
Morgan Ellison was able to bounce off and through some people, and they really don't have anybody else that can do that. Well, we saw all we need to know on Morgan Ellison now. The question is, if you add Mike Majet to that, what does Mike Majet get done out of it? Does he give you anything that doesn't already exist with Morgan Ellison?
And the other interesting part about playing Majet is if you've watched like we have and we say his strength is not running between the tackles, does that kind of key your defense when you see Majet in the game, knowing that maybe
they'll try to run between the tackles.
Right.
It's just you don't look at it and you say, okay, here comes Tyler in the T,
right,
and he is so physically different, it's going to be something different. What you see is you see a lot of guys that look like a lot like Mike Majet, and then you see Morgan Ellison.
But with Jordan Howard and Devine Redding last year, you didn't see that 15 to 20 carry game from Majet.
Redding got most of the carries.
He was more used as a change-up back,
right,
or a receiving back, or just something, just to simply spell him.
Right.
And now that role has to increase if he's healthy. And that's the other issue. If he's not healthy, that takes a weapon out of your backfield.
You saw Morgan Ellison come out of a game against Georgia Southern.
First of all,
why are you using him enough that he has to be exhausted against Georgia Southern, in my opinion? Second of all, you're going against Penn State. So if you liked him against Georgia Southern and you didn't really think the other guys maybe were good enough to be thrown out there, you're going to throw him out against Penn State? That's the way I look at that is, I say it again, the offensive line to me did not look like they were shoving around Georgia Southern all day long to make a lot of that. A lot of that was Mike Morgan Ellison. Now, great, fine, absolutely. I mean, use him all you can. You love having that guy. You want to have that guy. You would prefer to have that guy. But still, at the end of the day, you still relied on that guy and that physical difference in that big game as opposed to getting other guys involved. You're going to need a bunch of guys this weekend.
And the positive side of the injury thing, Brandon Knight at least got some game time, got some film under his belt, got some reps under his belt in 90,000-degree heat.
Yeah.
So he'll be back, we hope, at full strength. Maybe we'll get a full game out of Knight, depending on how he feels. And
you need everything you can get at this point.
You need every player, and that's the last thing I want to see is the injury report.
The best news to me is that the Hoosiers are coming into this where you know Penn State's coming off of such a big win, such an emotional and a draining physical win at Iowa against a tough defense. They'll be a little nicked up. They'll be a little less sore. I don't think there's any question about that, and that will work to the Hoosiers' favor. How much? Probably not enough. Penn State's got a little bit too much on both sides of the ball.
Top five teams. If you beat one on the road,
yeah,
that would be fantastic.
It's a 10-13-point game. I mean, again, I think they can stick with them, especially with what Penn State's coming off. Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. Back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Some programming notes for you once again. We got Reds baseball coming up here in just a little while. 7:40 is first pitch. The Reds are in Milwaukee. Thursday night, tomorrow night, we got NFL football returning. Bears are at Packers. 8 o'clock is pregame for that. Friday night, we return to high school football. South hosts the Terre Haute North Patriots. Chalk Talk is 7 o'clock and kickoff is 7:30 for that game. On Saturday, we've got the Reds at 4. And then we've got Ole Miss at Alabama starting 8:30 pregame, 9 o'clock kickoff. And Sunday, a triple header of NFL. Titans are at Texans, Eagles are at Chargers, and the nightcap is the Colts at Seattle. And the news this week ended up being no news, and that is would Andrew Luck practice, and apparently he won't practice, so Andrew Luck will not be playing. We're not sure when he will.
We know that's bad news anyhow, but when all the big NFL beat writer guys and information guys say he's back to practice this week, that makes me a little nervous because they usually don't swing and miss like that. So I don't know why they have that information. I don't know why Luck isn't practicing. I think they're probably mutually exclusive at some point. But it's interesting to hear that chatter and that rumble start before the kickoffs on Sunday that he's going to be back, and then here we are, and there's no practice at all. So what does that mean? Well, number one, you know if he didn't practice last week, he was not going to play in Seattle this week regardless. So it seems like it's the week before.
I'm wondering why they didn't just have him on the pup to begin with if you weren't going to have him for 5 or 6. I realize they didn't know, but it's a little ridiculous at the end if it's going to be 6 weeks anyways.
Well, and if he's not practicing this week, and this is week 4, that means he's not going to play against the 49ers in week 5.
Right.
And if he doesn't start practicing Monday or Tuesday of next week, that means he's not going to play in week six.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you're almost halfway through the season. Mm-hmm. I guess the good news is Vontae Davis is back. Ryan Kelly has been started to knock around some pads. That's good news. But in a quarter, Vontae Davis isn't going to score any points.
Right.
That's the point of this whole discussion.
Well, you need him.
Love Vontae Davis.
Yeah,
absolutely.
What you really need more than anything is your quarterback.
You do. And, again, this has been – I don't know if it's been mismanaged. When all the dust clears on this, here's what I hope. You hope that Andrew Luck is 100%. Not 90, mm-hmm. not 87.5, not 72.9. You hope that Andrew Luck is taking the ball under center, running over guys, throwing accurate passes – not ice bag on the arm.
You've got to hear for another 4 weeks afterwards. You got to ease him into the offense.
Well,
you get punched.
At some point, when do you just ease him out of the lineup and say, take the whole year off?
Right.
Now, I understand there's one thing that everybody likes to do, and that's spend other people's money. Mm-hmm. And Jim Mercer is paying Andrew Luck a ton of money, which he is getting paid right now by not playing any games. I get all that. I don't think that's the biggest deal. But I don't think what you can do now, the other side of that coin, is you've waited this long. There is no point in rushing him back 1 week early now for anything.
Right.
So now, if it's 6 weeks, 7 weeks, it doesn't matter at this point. The point is when Luck comes back, he has to be 100% now because you'd rush him back for the beginning of the season to get off to that great start and maybe buy some time later in the year, but that's not the case. So there's no point now to have him play one game, one quarter, one half and say, you know what, kind of feels a little wonky. I'm going to take the rest of the day off.
Right.
That's just not how it's going to work. So you wonder, they said 9 months. It's been 9 complete months since this has all gone down.
Mm-hmm.
So is it on time? Perhaps. Why is the owner telling us in the middle of summer that he'll be back for week 1?
I mean, obviously, you're going to talk about the franchise quarterback forever, especially if you're not given specific information.
Forever.
And we've been talking about it forever. I don't know when on schedule is anymore. I just know that every time he doesn't go out there, the Colts have a exponentially smaller percentage of chance that they're going to win any
game. No question. And
their schedule still doesn't look extremely daunting before too long. I mean, the Bengals are coming up here before long. The Ravens aren't scaring everybody, at least after a couple weeks ago. So, their schedule can let them skate for a while, but they've already missed two good opportunities.
And one was with a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And that's the tough one to stomach because the margin for error without Andrew Luck shrinks everywhere on the field. It's great that Malik Hooker's making interceptions on the with 2 seconds left in the game.
Right.
That's awesome. You know why I didn't drop it? That's what I like about it. Rashad Melvin makes two great interceptions in that game, and you're still hanging on for dear life. So the defense needs some answers. Where are they going to get these answers from? Well, Vontae Davis is going to provide some of that, so that's exciting right there. That takes a whole lot of pressure off everybody else, and then it puts another corner into rotation as well because you know Davis is going to play.
Doesn't help the pass rush too much. But
it doesn't, but again, you have the fields taken care of now.
Yeah. You always want a Pro Bowler back.
Exactly right. But then you can maybe get Melvin a little fresher, give him a couple extra reps. Hopefully, did anybody see if Wilson's back today? I forgot to look at that. I will take a look-see for that. But that's how you're going to get better on defense. You're going to get guys back, and you're going to have rookies grow up and start making plays. We've seen Nate Harrison make some plays. Mm-hmm. We've obviously seen Wilson make some plays in that Carolina game. So those are encouraging factors, but the Colts have to find a pass rush. They've been talking – here's what the Colts have been talking about
Wilson
for 5 years.
Wilson did not practice today. Then neither did Marlon Luck.
Then he's not
Marlon
going
Mack,
to
sorry.
Not going to – probably not going to – well, Wednesday, they probably got one more shot
Jack
to get
Doyle
him there.
Was a limited practice. Ryan Kelly was a limited practice.
That's good because limited – we've gone from
full
no
– for Vontae.
We've gone no Kelly to limited, which is much better in all of that. But you have to score points in this league, and you have to stop points from being scored. The only way the Colts get better is they have to just – they have to shrink their margin for error. And you can't run the ball – here's what we've heard for 5 years. The Colts need a pass rush or a pass rusher since Mathis went on suspension 18 times.
Right.
And the offensive line needs to be fixed. And here we are four or five years later and neither one of those are done. So if you're wondering why this isn't working itself out, there's a treasure map that shows you here's the problem. Then throw in Andrew Luck being hurt. There's a great timeline I sent you today about when this all started and when it's all happened. You can just the circles coincide and you can see just all the stuff falling apart right in front of you.
Yeah.
He saved your bacon so many times at 11-5 and even 8-8 to a degree from his individual play. And now he's out because he got beaten up for 2 years.
Well,
and that's the long and short of it.
You wonder how you go from 2-14 to a playoff team the next year with a rookie quarterback.
Seven come from behind four quarter victories.
It's because of the rookie quarterback. You know, everybody there just was not the intensity to turn around certain areas of the team. Certainly, they're everybody wanted to. But when you fail, you fail. It doesn't matter whether you wanted to or not. Everybody wants to succeed, and they didn't. They failed miserably. The offensive line is still a question mark. When he comes back, it's going to be a question mark. Ryan Kelly isn't back yet. Deshaun Bond, they said, is a limited practice.
Maybe that's why he's waiting. He's waiting for Kelly to come back. I'm not going to take snaps from Deshaun Bond
and then have my
left guard who's played four NFL games block for me.
Yeah.
My best player, the left tackle, the guy's protecting my blind side on that where I'm going to get hit and land on my shoulder.
He was one of the few guys around for all that.
Well, and he can't block anybody.
Right.
He's really struggling. So, they keep mentioning the 6 inches, 4 inches between the ears. And if he's seeing stuff where he doesn't trust that he's going to be allowed to be 100%. And at some point, though, there's going to be a time. And I heard this today and it made total sense. If some doctor in the Colts organization says, hey, man, you're clear, and he goes out and takes one hit and is done, the guy loses his everything.
Oh, yeah, no question.
So they're not going to do that with him.
Right.
And that's the other part you have to remember. This is they got him in the bubble wrap, like those big soccer balls.
And at some point
he has to play.
There is a reason they keep talking about the 4 inches. I mean, there is. We don't know for sure what it is, but
he's watching the film that we're watching.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again,
37 carries for 68 yards or whatever.
It may tinge a bit. That doesn't mean it's not healthy, according to all the X-rays and MRIs and all that sort of thing. And that's that may be what the doctors are telling him. So they got to go to Seattle this weekend. Seattle's got its own share of problems right now.
Lots of problems for the Seahawks right now.
Tends to play pretty well at their own place. The good news is if there's a team that's going to make your pass rush look better than it really does for your run defense, it'd probably be Seattle's offensive line because they're every bit as bad as the Colts.
Seattle scored 9 points in Green Bay in week one. They went home to take on the powerhouse, that is the San Francisco 49ers, and won 12-9.
Yeah.
I think that was a Robinson Cano grand slam in the bottom of the ninth there that – change that game around. They go to Tennessee last week And all you hear is they need to get Russell Wilson more involved in the offense. They need to do this. They need to do that. Now, Seattle, when you think about the Seahawks, what's the first thing you always think? At least for me, it's the Legion of whatever that was called.
Legion of Boom.
And it's defense, and it's guys up front, and it's Bennett and Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman. Mm-hmm. That's what you think. And giving up 33 points to Marcus Mariota is not what I think when I hear Seattle's defense.
No, they're missing some guys here and there, certainly from years gone past. It's interesting to me the Colts have got four of their first five games are against that whole division.
Get them out of the way.
Yeah, that's how you play. But to have them all right up front and have to wait a while on everybody else on your schedule, it's a tough trip. Somehow we got scheduled on a NBC night game on Sunday night and then in 2 weeks on ESPN when we go to Tennessee for Monday Night Football. There is no hope for the Colts right this minute to go anywhere without Andrew Luck. None of the other pieces of the puzzle that are causing them problems are going to get solved overnight. You could argue that at defensive back, you've got some guys that could come back to help you in Vontae Davis and Clayton Gathers, and maybe even Quincy Wilson. That remains to be seen. But there's nothing else out there that you say, if this guy only there's only one of those. And it happens to be huge. But otherwise, everything you've seen out of the Colts so far, which isn't very good, is what they are. Until they get Andrew Luck back. That's the whole extent of it. That's all you can say about it. Hopefully that's soon. It's not this week. It's certainly looking like it's further on.
And the other problem with the Colts, here's what Tennessee did. Tennessee's got, number one, they got a pretty good line. They spent a ton of draft picks and money on it.
Yep. They run the ball well.
They rushed 35 for 195 against the Legion of Boom. Marcus Mariota was 20 of 32, two touchdowns, no picks against the Legion of Boom.
You can do that on play action.
Well, you can, and that's the point. The one thing it looks like Seattle's defense you can kind of get to is running the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And what have the Colts absolutely struggled to do?
That.
Minus two or three big gains a weekend.
Right.
And when you pull those out, the numbers are worse. So don't do that. Leave the numbers in there. 36 carries for 92 yards.
Yeah.
And Gore's got a 21-yard run and an 11-yard run. And Brissett's got an 11-yard run.
Mm-hmm.
Don't pull those out because it doesn't help the average at all.
There.
So what do the Colts have to do to win the football game? I think it's pretty simple. I think you saw some of the clues last week. Brissett can hurt you with his feet. There's no doubt about it. But you have to get the playmakers the ball. Jack Doyle's not going to have a game like he had last Sunday where he dropped everything in sight and fumbled, and you just scratch your head and wonder why that happened. But the Colts are effective and can be effective when T.Y. Hilton gets the ball. Dante Moncrief made you some plays.
Mm-hmm.
They still have to go to Doyle. That's easy. And they have to find some semblance of running. Is it situational running? Because Gore in the second half, when it's 28-7 at halftime.
Yeah.
He goes 13 carries for 14 yards or 14 carries for 13 yards in the second half. You'd have liked to have some of that in the fourth quarter to get you some more first downs and some breathing room. But it was okay for a minute or two. Brissett wasn't on his back all day.
Right.
So there are some positives you can take from it. And that's a bad place to play. Nobody wins there.
No.
Nobody wins there. It's too loud. It's too annoying.
Well, that's exactly what it is. And on a Sunday night for us, it'll be Sunday late afternoon for them. Plenty of time to lubricate and get
voices
ready to roll.
In full throat.
Exactly right.
There in Seattle.
No, and you want to throw Jacoby Brissett out there for that?
I think Brissett's going to be okay because of his athletic nature.
I think Brissett is going to be blitzed until his head spins. I mean, there's absolutely no question about it.
Why wouldn't you? You can't run the ball.
I mean, he's a big, tall kid.
That's going to force
and
the receivers
strong.
To make plays.
That's the good news. But, you know, T.Y. Hilton can't and Dante Moncrief can't do disappearing acts.
Yep.
And most of what I saw out of T.Y. Hilton this weekend, I thought was him getting open because of routes and play calling more than, you know, him going out there and beating people.
Yep, the expanded
playbook. Tends to be him. I mean,
you
know, he's not going to go out there and physically, you know, go out on one-on-one and push away somebody.
You saw the lead.
You've got to find a way to do that. And, oh, by the way, you might have to find a way to do that on short routes to get that that pass rush away from Jacoby
You
Brissett.
Saw Brissett make the leap from his first week to his second week,
mm-hmm.
noticeably. There was a whole different set of stuff
and
they were
running.
And
it was against the Browns.
And it was against the Browns. So that's good practice to get you settled in, ready to go. There has to be that next jump made if the Colts are going to be in this game, because we can't say, hey, give it to 35-year-old Frank Gore.
Right. Save us, Frank.
22 times and hope that's it. Well, Frank Gore can get you situational yards. Sometimes situational yards are more important than box score yards. If it's 3rd and 2 and you're trying to keep drives alive,
mm-hmm.
and you're running the football and he gets 2.1, I can live with that.
Well,
I can live with 2 yards of carry there.
The best thing possible with bad pass blocking is to get the ball out of the guy's hands quickly.
Hurry up, right.
You know, and they haven't really been doing that. Jacoby Brissett has been sitting back there waiting and waiting and waiting a little bit too much. And this again, this is one of those where it, you know, it gives you miscommunications out there. You know, it rushes you a little bit, you know, in your general timing. They jump all over your wide receivers, so you're not going to have some of
Hilton had a big game against Sherman last time they played. He had over 100 yards, and Luck had a big game as well, so there's no Luck. See how these problems just keep different. Reverting back to their original problems? Colts find a pass rush, find somebody. Can you name a Seattle running back? No, it's Russell Wilson. Yeah. You have to contain him. You have to keep him somewhat off balance. Keep him not set. Make him throw on the run. These cornerbacks we've seen have done a decent job. Mm-hmm. They've done a decent job. Doug Baldwin's a nice receiver, but this is you're not going up against some of the prototypical. No. This is not Odell Beckham Jr. you're having to guard.
Defensively, the defense should not be affected too much by the environment because the noise shouldn't be there when Seattle's on offense.
Exactly.
You're not going up against the power running game like you mentioned.
No more Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, nor do you have the pass blocking of some of the other teams out there. So should the defense keep you in it? This is one of those games that it's sure better. I mean, they had a chance, I guess, to do that out in L.A. and got 46 put up on them. I know it wasn't all theirs, but
just 30.
I mean, just 30, just but 30. Still just 30. I mean, if you get 30 scored on you by the Seahawks, you're going to lose by 4 touchdowns.
All you can do is laugh at it at this point.
Yeah,
there's nothing else to do.
You've got the defense has got to do something to keep you in these next couple games.
Yeah, and you
games.
Got a good kicker, too. So don't forget about him either because you can't have empty trips. You got to keep scoring points. And it looked like, I know Mariota and the offense they run is different in Tennessee because they have a much better offensive line. But if the Colts can find a way to get at Seattle, make Russell Wilson make plays of these guys we're talking about or force them into plays, well, that's why you play the game. 9 underdogs out of 10 covered last week. That's interesting how each week is a new soap opera in the NFL, and everybody has a chance. Everybody does their homework. Everybody does their film. We'll see what injuries are there and which aren't there. And it should make for an interesting Sunday night game. Hey, you got DirecTV. I can't go to your house. You can't come to my house.
That's right.
I don't have a DirecTV. Thankfully, this is the good news about having a Verizon phone. People are like, Verizon, what are you nuts? Yeah, I can watch it on my phone. It's part of the gig. Oh, baby.
Very nice.
Now, let's hope that deal gets worked out by Sunday afternoon.
We'll have it here for you on radio. 7:30 is a pregame start. 8:30 is the kickoff for Colts.
Battling Bob Lamy.
At Seattle. Reminder, again, we've got high school football returning Friday night. Terre Haute North comes to town to face the South Panthers. Chalk Talk, 7 o'clock, and kickoff, 7:30. Speaking of which, don't go anywhere. We got Reds baseball coming up here in just a little while. Season's almost over, but they're going to play up in Milwaukee here shortly. So don't go anywhere, and we will talk to you again on Monday night. You've been in the zone.